Speak to us now, O Lord, we pray. Speak to our souls today. For this is why we've come, dear Lord. We're ready for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Heaven and earth will pass, but God, your word will forever last. We stand ready now for your word. We pray that as your word goes forth, it will find fertile ground and a willing vessel to come through, that we would be more than just hearers of your word. Help us to be doers as well. Let everything that we do and say bring glory and honor to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. My brothers and sisters, I'm not sure if you realize this or not, but we live in a world of individualism. The chants of individualism have become commandments in our society today. Here are just a few that you might have heard, if not adopted for yourself. I don't follow the crowd. Stand out, don't blend in. Stay your own way. I answer to no one but myself. Free to be me, I make my own lane. Follow your truth. Be self-made. And of course, the number one phrase of this generation, you do you, I'll do me. These phrases are fueling this idea of independence, this idea of relying on no one but yourself. And what it has resulted in is many of us bearing our own burdens in silence. It has resulted in many of us not asking for help because we see asking for help as a sign of weakness. And we don't want to be viewed as a failure by others. But here's the truth, my brothers and sisters, that's not the kingdom way. It may be the culture of the world, but it's not the culture of Christ. From the beginning, God declared it's not good for man to be alone, not just in the context of marriage, but in the context of living life. In the body of Christ, there's no such thing as a solo saint. There's no such thing as a distant or disenfranchised disciple. All of us have been created for connection, for community, for oneness. But here's the sad truth. Many of us have brought unknowingly the mindset of isolation into our spiritual lives. There are too many of you who are in here today, right now, who come to church but are still disconnected. You smile, but you never share your struggles. You worship in the crowd, but you leave walking in life like you're on an island. And so today, as we kick off this Sunday, our spring discipleship series, I want to encourage somebody, challenge somebody, to recognize that walking alone, even when you're in a crowd, is not God's will for your life. I want to talk today from the thought, the power of being connected to one another. The power of being connected to one another. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? Amen. If you need an outline, raise your hand. For those of you who are watching, you can go to our app, wherever you get your apps, and download a copy of the outline, or go to our website, goodhope.org. The challenge of this message is really rooted in the fact that I believe, and I believe the Bible teaches, that real strength is not found in standing alone, but in standing together. That if we really want to fulfill our potential and be who God has called us to be, it's only going to happen in the context of relationships and connectivity with one another. Now, our foundational text is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in that chapter, Paul uses the metaphor of the body to illustrate how every member is essential and interconnected. Like just like the physical body has many parts, each with its unique function, so too does the body of Christ. And just like every part of the physical body serves a purpose and is important to fulfilling its function, so too is it for the body of Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25 says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." That's why we have to be careful with how we interact with one another. That's why we should be careful in how we speak to one another, because we have a choice. We can add value to people, or we can take value away from people. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear it." Paul says your speaking, your interaction with others should be edifying in nature. It should be building up people. It should be in alignment with God's purpose for a person's life. Four things I want you to see today out of this message entitled "The Power of Being Connected to One Another." Here's the first thing. Number one, you need to realize that as believers, we are all part of the same body. As believers, we are all part of the same body. Verse 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the ESV translation says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit, we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit." When you really believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, Paul says you have been brought into and made a part of the body of Christ. And it doesn't matter who you were naturally. What matters now is who you are in Jesus Christ. So he says it doesn't matter whether you were Jew or Greek, slave or free. You are new now that you are in Christ. One of the problems that many of us have is we allow who we were in our past, or even who we are in our present, to keep us from becoming who God wants us to be in our future. And God says you've got to recognize that you are part of the body of Christ. And not only are you part of the body, but watch what he says in verse 13 at the end. "All were made to drink of one spirit." So not only are you in the body, but the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And he says, because you are in the body and the Spirit of God is inside of you, now I have an assignment, a task for you to do, because now you are part of the body of God. And my brothers and sisters, that declaration is true for everybody who's asked Jesus Christ into their life. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you have been. God says you can be who I want you to be, because I've positioned you to walk in a new life. Each one of us has a responsibility to take on what God has called us to do. Look at Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Let's read it together. "Do you not know that you are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" The Holy Ghost lives inside of you. And God says because of the presence of God, and because you have been placed in the body, God says, "I expect you to live a certain way." Look at number two. If you're going to recognize the power of being connected to one another, number two, you need to realize you are different from every member of the body of Christ, and you are valuable to the body of Christ. You are different and you are valuable. Verse 14, 1 Corinthians 12, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. In other words, if you look at yourself and you say, well, I'm not like somebody else, or I don't have this gift, or I don't have this talent, therefore I'm not a part of the body, basically Paul says the devil is a liar. Just because you're not like somebody else doesn't mean you are not part of the body. As a matter of fact, just the opposite is true. Because you are not like somebody else, God says, I need you in the body to complete the body. Watch what he says, verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? If we were all eyes and could see everything, what would happen if we needed to say anything and we had no mouths? What would happen if we needed to grab something and we had no hands? God forbid if we had to go somewhere and had no feet. God says, even though we are not all the same, we are different, but each of us has our specific function and we are valuable. Our diversity strengthens us. In our communities, God says you should celebrate differences, recognizing they bring richness to your collective completion. Now, somebody said, why would Paul write this? Because the Corinthian believers were experiencing some of the stuff that many of us experience. They were experiencing the sense of being less gifted, less able, less capable, less worthy of God's blessings. They had these feelings of insignificance and unimportance and inadequacy and not being gifted enough. And so they felt like they were not part of the body, especially if they didn't have those super upfront gifts that were applauded by many. And Paul says, no, the body is not one member, but many members. And each of you has a role to play in the body of Christ. Let me share with you four things that are significant about the church and the body of Christ. A, you are a necessary part of the body of Christ. You are a necessary part. There's none of you under the sound of my voice, none of you who are listening anywhere in the world who are unnecessary to the body of Christ. Each one of you is necessary because, watch this, we not only are to help each other, we are to help those who need Jesus as well. And each one of us has the opportunity to be used by God to fulfill that potential. There are those of you in here right now under the sound of my voice, those of you who are watching, God wants to use you to help somebody know Jesus that I'll never get a chance to speak to. Matter of fact, they may not even want to hear from a preacher for whatever reason, but they'll hear from you. They'll watch your life, and they will be changed because you are functioning like God has called you to function. Look at B. You have an essential function in the body of Christ. You have an essential function. The eye, the ear, the nose, the foot all have a function. Your function may not be my function. My function may not be your function, but we all have a function in the body of Christ. And the body of Christ can only operate if enough members function as they are gifted to function. Listen, if the body is not functioning at peak capacity, you know what we call a body that is unable to function at peak capacity? Sick, injured, or disabled. Sick, in need of healing, injured, in need of recovery, or disabled, it ain't gonna get no better. And when you are not functioning as God has called us to function as a body, the body of Christ is disabled. Listen, imagine what would happen if everybody in the body functioned as God has called them to function. Imagine what would happen if you stopped letting somebody else define who you're going to be in God, and you stopped defining who you're going to be in God, and you started letting God define who you're going to be for him. Some of y'all looking at me strange. Let me put a cord in the meter and park there for a second. So God has blessed us since 2023 to take in hundreds of members. God has blessed us to see hundreds of people give their life to the Lord. We've served thousands of people locally, nationally, and internationally that have been blessed by this ministry. But what percentage of people would you say have really bought into this idea of making the main thing the only thing? What percentage? I don't know, 10%? 20%? Let's make it easy. Let's say 50%. So let's say 50% of you, 50% of you watching say, yeah, man, I'm going to make the main thing the only thing. Man, I'm going to live to fulfill my potential in Jesus Christ. If only 50% of you have lived that way and we feed 1,000 people a month, that means we can feed at least 2,000 a month. If the other half of you said, I'm going to be used to the glory of God. If we've seen hundreds of people give their life to the Lord, we would see thousands of people of life give their life to the Lord. When we look at our church over the last 3 years, since I've been here, 31 years now in this month, since I've been here at the Good Hope Church, the last 2.5 years have been the best 2.5 year stretch we've ever had in the history of our church in the last 30 years. We've seen increases in the numerical growth, spiritual growth, financial growth, growth in volunteerism, growth in community impact and influence. God has been doing some amazing things. But imagine how much more God could do if you, who are sitting on the sideline, said, you know what? I'm going to use my gift to the glory of God. Look at C. You are set in the body of Christ as God wills. God has you where he wants you to be. You ain't got to pray about that. God has you where he wants you to be, and God wants to use you for the season that you're here. And if you don't feel like this is the place where God wants you to be, then find a place where God wants you to be so you can get there and start being used to the glory of God. See, God has not just set prominent members in the church. God has not just set up front members in the church. God has set you in the church and wants to use you to a great and glorious cause. Look at D. You are distinct from other believers, but together we are one body. See, here's one of the things that we have to understand. Unity and uniformity are not the same thing. You don't have to be like me to be used by God. And I don't need to look for somebody, listen carefully, to be in competition with. I need somebody that we can work in cooperation with. And we celebrate the gifts, not because you are like me, but because together we are one body and can do what God has called us to do. See, we're not a church that is made up of one significant person. We've got to be a group. We've got to be a team. And we need to know that even the lowest and least gifted member, if that person is using their gift to the glory of God, then they are as impactful and powerful as somebody who's sitting on a sideline with a greater gift. That's why you should never look down on another believer. And that's why you should never look down on yourself, even when others do, because God has a plan for your life. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Here's the third thing. Number three, you need to realize you are connected with others and you are to empower each other. Everybody say empower. You are connected with others and you are to empower each other. Verse 24, which our more presentable parts do not require, but God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. God has put both the presentable and the unpresentable in one body. And God has brought that body together and said, in essence, there should be no jealousy, no pride, no divisiveness within the church, for God has gifted every believer to complement the others. So we are called to be connected and empower each other, to help each other, to encourage each other, to be all that God has created us to be. And this mutual support is crucial in building a compassionate, loving community, because community can only happen when you are connected and when you empower each other. So came downstairs one day at the house, and a whole corner of the house was without power. The TV, next two sockets, socket outside the closet, socket in the closet, were all out of power. Everything else was on. So I'm trying to figure out what happened that would cause the power to go out in just this section of the house. So I pull out my handyman skills, you know, and I'm going to check the breaker boxes. Check the breaker boxes upstairs, downstairs. Check the breaker boxes all over. All the breakers seem to be working. I'm befuddled. I don't know what's going on. So I call Travis. I call Dennis from here to church. I say, hey, man, my power's out. Maybe I'm missing something. They came over. Checked the breaker boxes. Checked all the GFI plugs. Everything seems to be working. We can't figure it out. Travis said, listen, man, let's call a professional. Have him come in. So we called an electrician. Tremaine came in. Tremaine comes in. Hey, Pastor, what's going on? I said, hey, man, from this place in the house over here, I have no power. Tremaine looks. He says, all right. He said, let me check the breaker. I said, well, I already checked the breaker. He said, I understand. He said, but let me check the breaker. So he goes and checks the breakers. No bad breakers. All the breakers are working. He comes back and stands in the living room. And he looks and he says, and let's see, the power is coming around here. And this is the last plug that has power. And then there's no power around here. He said, that's where the problem is. I said, wait a minute. That plug is working. There's stuff plugged in there. He said, yeah, but that's where the problem is. So he takes off the cover to the socket, pulls it out, and said, here's the problem right here. The wire that brought power to the plug was connected, but the wire that carried power from the plug was loose. And as he began to move the wire around, TV came on, then it went off. Light came on, then it went off. And I said, man, what happened? Now, I remember the grandkids were over a couple of days ago, and they were playing over there on that side of the room, and they might have hit it, but watch this. The plug looked the same from the outside. We only knew it came loose because it wasn't conduiting power beyond itself. And here's what Tremaine said. He said, Pastor, he said, with this wire loose, this plug will get power, but it won't transmit power. In order to get power to the other plugs, we've got to reconnect that wire. Y'all think I'm talking about a plug and power in my house, and I'm really talking about you. Because some of you have power that's coming to you, but the power of God is not moving through you. You're not able to help somebody else because you become a blockage of the power of God moving. And God says, I need you, here it is, connected with other people, so that the power of God that you get can go to somebody else. Here's the fourth and final thing. Number four, You need to realize living in connection with one another allows you and me to be a living demonstration of God's kingdom on earth. How is the world going to see that Jesus is real? Jesus says in the Gospel of John, a new commandment, verse 34, I give to you that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. Verse 35 says, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Paul says, you are the body of Christ. You have your own place in the body of Christ. The Spirit of God lives inside of you. But the evidence that you are part of the body of Christ will never be seen when you live in isolation from other believers. It's in the context of relationships that you can help somebody else be better, and somebody else can help you be better. He says you are important to the body, and you are the one who can help somebody who needs Jesus know Jesus and help somebody who knows Jesus to grow in Jesus. But it has to take place in the context of the body. Everybody doesn't have the same role, but because we're in the same body, we can help each other fulfill the use of our gifts and talents through the body. Look at Matthew 25, verse 15. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. It doesn't matter how many gifts or talents you have. God says, however many you have, I need you to use what you've been given to my glory. And we've got to figure out, we've got to recognize that it's only when we're together. That's why life groups are so important. Because it's in the context of intentional relationships that we can help each other be better. Some of you can testify, if I gave you a microphone right now, as to how different your life is being an independent Christian versus being in relationship with other Christians. How many times have you come to a life group meeting looking to bless somebody else or needing a blessing, and you got exactly what God wanted you to get? And it was in the context of relationships. And God says, you got to learn how powerful relationships are. This past week, I was studying the California redwood trees. The redwood trees are present in several locations, California, Oregon, China. Some have been transplanted and planted in Great Britain. It's interesting because these trees, if you've ever seen them, can grow to heights in excess of 300 feet in the air. 300 feet in the air. The biggest tree is 29 feet in diameter. 29 feet. These trees can live for thousands of years. Thousands of years. Now, here's what was surprising to me. A 300-foot tree that is 2,000 years old, 300 feet high, 29 feet in diameter. Its roots only go down 6 to 12 feet. Redwood trees do not have a tap root. They don't have one root that goes deep. You would think, like I thought, if a redwood tree is 300 feet up in the air, it's got to go down at least 50, 60 feet, 6 to 12 feet deep. So here's the question. What keeps the redwood tree from falling over? What keeps the redwood tree from being destroyed by hurricanes, by floods, by tornadoes, by wind? Here's what I learned. The redwood tree's roots are only 6 to 12 feet deep, but they go out 100 feet wide. Not only do they go out 100 feet wide, but they intertwine with one another. So every tree in a grove of redwood trees is tied and connected to one another. Let me tell you how crazy it is. If a redwood tree feels the pressure from the earth shifting or another tree leaning on it, it can grow faster on the side that needs support. And in growing faster, it will strengthen itself as other trees around it hold on to that tree that was falling. Y'all thinking I'm talking about a redwood tree. I'm really talking about you. Because here's the problem. We many times are so busy in the body of Christ trying to be deep that we're not connected. We got members who are trying to figure out and want to study the book of Revelation, and they haven't figured out how to live Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John yet. But you want to know about the end times, and you don't know how to live in these times. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the person next to you. I'm just trying to get somebody to understand that when you connect with somebody else and accelerate your personal growth, you can experience resiliency in your own life. When we intertwine ourselves with one another in intentional relationships, we can help each other. When I'm weak, you become strong in my weakness. When I'm strong, I become your strength in your weakness. We can encourage and hold up one another when we become connected to one another. As I close today, let me just remind you, excuse me, that we were never meant to be on this journey called life alone. When God said it's not good for man to be alone, he meant that not just for marriage, but in any relationship. The writer of Ecclesiastes says when one is walking alone, they can fall and nobody's there to pick them up. But two can help each other, and three is a cord that can't be broken. God has relationship in mind with one another. And just like the redwood trees, their strength when we stand connected to each other. There is strength when we as believers stand together. When we allow the power of God to move through us to one another. When we pray for one another. When we serve one another. When we encourage one another. When we build up one another. When we love one another with the love of Christ. When we are truly connected, spirit to spirit, heart to heart, we reflect the unity in the body of Christ. We become living testimonies, not by what we say, but by how we live. So today, I want to challenge you to make a commitment, not just to attend the same church, but to be connected to one another. Somebody in here, you've been walking in isolation by yourself. And you come in and you go out. You come in and you go out. You come in and maybe you smile some days, but there's no connection with nobody else. And God says the problem is you're trying to do this thing called the Christian life by yourself. But you need to be connected. You need to be connected with God vertically and with each other horizontally. No comparison, no competition, no conflict, but connection, compassion, and cooperation with one another. So let's be intentional about building up one another, standing in the gap for one another, and walking this journey of faith side by side. You see, from the Garden of Eden to the cross at Calvary, the heartbeat of heaven has always been connection. God with us and us with one another. There is a holy fire that burns brighter when we gather together. There is a healing that flows deeper when we open our hearts and bear one another's burdens. There is a joy that sings louder when we laugh together, cry together, pray together, and worship side by side. But how can we help each other if we're walking in isolation? How can we love one another if we're busy building walls instead of bridges? Jesus prayed and said, "Father, make them one as you and I are one." Not just connected by proximity, but connected by purpose. Not just near each other in the pews, but knitted together in his love, that the world may see what looks like real community. So I challenge you today, not just leave with a good word, but I need you to leave with a godly commitment to check on your brother, to uplift your sister, to break bread with somebody you barely know, to build connections that go deeper than Sunday morning smiles. Because when we are truly connected, we show heaven on earth. And here's what the enemy knows. The enemy knows he can take you out by yourself. But the enemy knows when two or three gather together, the enemy knows that he can't win. He wants to keep us separated by any means possible. But when you pray for me, and I pray for you, when you love me, and I love you, when we come together and touch and agree, God can do something amazing in the midst of our community. So let us rise, not as scattered saints, but let us rise as one body, one family, one people, connected by Christ, empowered by his love. Let us be a church where the lonely can find family, where the hurting can find healing, where the weary can find rest, where the weak can find strength, because we are committed to one another. Have I got a witness here? And when we are committed to being connected, no power can stop you. No weight is too heavy for you. No burden is going to pull you down, because when we are together, God can work through you and God can work through me, and we can be the connection that someone else has been praying for. Somebody has been praying. I said, somebody has been praying, saying, I need a healthy community. I need to be with a group of people who are serious about doing the right thing. Man, we can find the crazies that want to go nowhere and do nothing. But where can I find community where I can help and I can find help? And Paul says, it's in the body. It's in the body. Let's pray. We thank you, God, for the reminder today of the power and beauty of being connected. Of being connected first to you and to one another. You created us for relationship, You created us for fellowship. You created us to be unified in a way that reflects your heart. Forgive us, God, for the times that we've pulled away. Forgive us for the times that we have adopted the mantra of the world and tried to walk as individuals when you have saved us to be part of your family. Today, God, I ask that you would help us to recommit ourselves, not just to being near each other, but to be connected with each other. Teach us to love deeply, to serve selflessly, and to stand faithfully beside our brothers and sisters. Knit our hearts together in a bond of peace and help us to be intentional in building relationships that glorify you. Holy Spirit, we ask you to have your way. Empower us to be a bridge and not a wall. Empower us to encourage and not discourage. Empower us, God, to be a friend and not a foe. That the world might see you, not just in our words, but in how we walk with one another. We ask these blessings in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus. Let all of God's people say amen.